Good morning. Welcome to the House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, and Workforce Development. It's Wednesday, April 8th. We have reached that time of session when things are a little out of order. Thank you, Representative Buckley. Your timing is excellent. I was just explaining that things are a little fluid at this point in the session. So we are going to be carrying over House Bill 2624 and carrying over House Bill 2681 as work continues on those amendments and analysis of them. That leaves us with HCR 17 and House Bill 3511. Representative Buckley, if you want to present on House Concurrent Resolution 17, we'll open a public hearing on that and get a summary from Victoria, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. HCR 17 honors the 2014 Southern Oregon University Raiders football team for their first ever National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics Football National Championship.
Thank you. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative Peter Buckley, representing Southern Oregon University and South Jackson County in the legislature. Thank you for your time and consideration of this resolution. I do note that you did use the phrase things go out of order as I walked in the room, so I'm trying to just accept that as being valid criticism. Mr. Chair, members, Central University's football team had a just remarkable season, and it's not only the fact that they won the national championship, it's the way that they played and the way that they performed as a team. The coach of the team, character, strength, and honor was his constant refrain to his players, and they played with character, strength, and honor. Austin Dodge, their quarterback, set national records as a national player of the year, a remarkable player to watch. The community was just very, very much enlivened by the season. And if you recall, our university has had difficult times in the last few years. Mm-hmm. We've had to go through retrenchment. For some reason, the Ways and Means Committee has not funded higher education at the level that should fund higher education, and the stress on all our universities has been immense. With Southern Oregon and the regional universities in particular, given they don't have large endowments, they don't have some resources the large universities have. They've worked tremendously hard to pull together financially, and it's been difficult for the community. It's been difficult for the faculty, difficult for the students to go through retrenchment, go through that process. And this championship season has been part of just this kind of re-energizing of Southern Oregon University. Enrollment is up at Southern Oregon University. Faculty morale is up. The interim president, Dr. Roy Sago, has done a tremendous job of basically having a can-do attitude of saying, yes, we can. Let's go. Let's get it done. And people are responding to it. And the resolution does note not only the tremendous achievements of the football team, but it notes that Southern University Athletic Department produces championship team after championship team in all sports. You look down the board and the number of championships that SAU has won in sports such as wrestling, and track and field. They just have a standard of excellence. And this legislature did support recently the funding for redoing the McNeil Pavilion, which is one of their major athletic facilities, which is the community is extremely grateful for that sort of support. But overall, it's that standard of excellence for the university and that enthusiasm for the work being done in the university that fuels this resolution and is fueling the revitalization of Southern Oregon University. So I appreciate your time and consideration of this resolution. From what I understand, if you are good enough to pass this to the floor, the Speaker's office is going to coordinate April 21st as a date for SOU athletes and faculty and staff to come up, and we'll have an SOU day at the faculty to share the celebration of this achievement by our football team and by our university. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Buckley. Any questions for the co-chair?
Go Raiders. This is very exciting.
Go Raiders. Absolutely.
Go Raiders. Yeah.
Some of us were wondering what, who
wasn't me. It was not me.
The, underfunding of higher education.
I take full responsibility, Mr. Chair. It's in my purview. And as a legislature, we've been trying tremendously hard to reinvest in education. And this, finally, in this budget, some of the stress we've been under, I don't want to get too political here or anything, but some of the stress we've been under with the K-12 budget and others is our desire in this 2015-17 budget to finally make an investment again in higher education and in community colleges to try to bring that part of our education sector forward as well. So none of this is comfortable. No, we're not where we need to be anywhere across the board, but we are working hard to get there.
Representative McHugh.
Thank you, Chair Reed. Just to follow up with a comment, I don't really, whether it's a high school or a community college or a smaller regional university or a Division I school, it doesn't matter. Getting to a national championship and winning is really, really hard. Yeah. And to do that really deserves the attention that we're hopefully willing to give it today. And I just want to congratulate that program for doing something that is incredibly difficult to do, and they did it with a great deal of honor and grace, and I'm grateful for the hard work that those students put in to get us there.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. That's exactly it. The parade, they played the game on Friday. It was on national TV. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. So watched it.
Everybody was watching. I mean, you know, every bar was packed. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. I can't remember what it was, but every place was packed for the people watching the game at the Stevenson Union. There were big TV screens set up, and faculty and students were watching it, and great energy. But the parade was on Sunday. It's rainy. It's a rainy day in the fall on a Sunday, and there's like 400 people in the street just getting soaked, but so much joy as the team came down the street with a trophy, and the pride on their faces. The community is so proud of what they've achieved.
And it deserves to be celebrated, so thank you.
Thank you.
Where was the championship game?
It was in Florida. Mr. Chair. Yeah. I can't remember if it was in Dayton, Florida. I can't remember what city it was, but it was in Florida, and it was quite the adventure.
The only reason I ask, I got to go in 1997 to the NAIA National Championship game, and Willamette played in it in Savannah, Tennessee, a very remote, strange place. So I was wondering if it was the same place and have felt that. That's good. So, other comments, questions? I don't see any. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Justifying. There's no one else who wants to testify on HCR 17. If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 17 and open work session on House Concurrent Resolution 17. Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move HCR 17 to the floor with a recommendation that it be adopted.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos has moved House Concurrent Resolution 17 to the floor with the recommendation that it be adopted. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion is adopted. HCR 17 goes to the floor, and he doesn't know it. He's leaving, but Representative Buckley will carry. And we'll close the work session on HCR 17. That leaves us with the public hearing on House Bill 3511. Victoria.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3511 establishes a computer science, invention, technology, and engineering revitalization grant program within the Department of Education, declares an emergency, is effective July 2015, and has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you. So we have five people who have signed up to testify. I understand that four of you want to be together, so we can ask you to pull up an extra chair. Those four are Don Domes, Terrell, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, Smith, John Niebergall and Andrew Scholar. Probably got that right. So please come forward. Thanks, Zach. And you can decide on the order. If you could begin by introducing yourself and then giving your testimony, please.
So I'll start. Great. Chair Representative Reed and committee members, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I'm Don Domes. I'm a retired CTE teacher, coach, and a licensed tax consultant, and a grandpa concerned about Oregon's future. House Bill 3511 is important because we have a workforce and pipeline issue that needs attention. This bill is founded in enhancing best practice solutions that excite students and adults regarding computer science, invention, technology, and engineering. Research tells us that students only spend about 14% of their time in a formal school environment. Only 1 in 7 of our high schools have a computer science course. Our dropout rate is embarrassing. In the tech sector, we are told that we do not have enough qualified workers. Great efforts are being made to enhance STEM and CTE opportunities during school time. We also need to recognize where additional low-hanging fruit is, which is the time beyond the 14% of the time that students spend in formal school. Now, there is a place in the USA where we are the best in the world with students, and it was just referred to by the former resolution that was spoke to. We create the best quarterbacks and the best linemen in the world. We do that with time beyond the formal school day. We do such an outstanding job of this that schools build facilities, they pay coaches, they host celebrations of coaches and players, the community becomes highly involved, and you here in the legislature are celebrating one of those teams this morning. The students get clear confirmation that adults value their involvement. The sports and athletic systems are a model of how to create the best in the world with our students. Oregon has approximately 215,000 students in fourth to eighth grade. If we wanted just 25% of those students in an outside school time experience in computer science, invention, technology, or engineering, we would need opportunities for about 54,000 students. If that experience happened in a team of 25 students, we'd need 2,160 coaches, teachers. If that experience happened with a more reasonable ratio of one coach to 15 students, we would need 3,600 teacher coaches for those teams. Now, we know how motivated football players get for a football game. Can you imagine having competitions for students in computer science, invention, technology, and engineering? We actually have some of this in Oregon. ORTOP, the Oregon Robotics Tournament Outreach Program, has about 600 teams with about 6,000 students involved. If we want 54,000 students involved, we need eight more organizations the size of ORTOP just to create the infrastructure for the opportunity. We need grants to empower the creation of the infrastructure for our students to have outside school time experiences in computer science, invention, technology, and engineering. These are areas of high need in our workforce. These are also areas where students can go pro, every one of them, and earn a living wage. OPAS started some of this work almost 10 years ago. With minimal funding, it seeded several things that became best practice. When OUS was defunded in the last session, OPAS collapsed. That orphaned some of the best practice providers. We need grants to revitalize those orphans, as well as recruit a host of additional providers who can rise to this need. House Bill 3511 is from those of us in the trenches who know the kids and know the need. House Bill 3511 is modeled after the highly successful CTE revitalization grant program. The target is K-12. It can empower providers that offer statewide opportunities, or it can empower local or regional providers. Following the CTE revitalization grant model, it'll give us an opportunity to empower best practice and to enhance opportunities for students. I urge you to vote for House Bill 3511. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Who's next?
John.
Good morning.
And the microphones are pretty good. If you just sort of point it in your direction, you don't have to be very close.
Doesn't that work?
Okay. That's perfect.
Thank you for your time and consideration for helping our students. My name is John Niebergall. I teach at Sherwood High School, and this year I'm running a mobile fab lab around the state of Oregon. I believe we have to grow a sustainable manufacturing ecosystem here in Oregon, and that can be done through CTE opportunities, computer science, invention, technology, and engineering. I've been able to teach teacher workshops during this school year to technical teachers and help them develop their training for their students that employers are asking for. I believe the industry pipeline, the industry perspective about our pipeline of STEM students and technical training needs to be addressed, and we need to help build that pipeline so we have more students that graduate in these areas. This week I was able to visit Gaston and Vernonia High School. Both those school districts have added some technical education training, and they've developed some sustainable school-based enterprises, and that will help sustain those programs in those schools. I strongly encourage you to pass House Bill 3511. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Chairman Reed, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Andrew Scholler. I'm the Computer Science Department Chair at Chemeketa Community College. Before I started at Chemeketa, I worked at McMinnville High School for 7 years teaching computer science at that level. So I'm someone who's benefited when I moved to Oregon. I was a relatively green teacher. I benefited from some of these organizations that connect teachers. Teachers who teach computer science, STEM topics, are often the only person in their school, possibly even in their district, who teaches these classes. They often, these gentlemen so far, have been circumspect enough not to talk about what a schedule looks like for a CTE teacher, but often if they have an eight-period schedule, they're teaching eight different classes. And staying on top of this variety of curriculum is very challenging, especially if you're a lone actor. So school districts, schools themselves, are poorly set up to offer the kinds of professional development that teachers rely on, because these individuals are often working alone. The kinds of organizations that this bill seeks to fund are the ones that connect these teachers across the geographic divides, across school district boundaries, and allow them to share what they're doing, inspire each other, share curriculum, and really drive their development and their ability to provide instruction to students. So in my mind, this is one of the key needs that this bill addresses, the other one being that schools can't do it all. We don't have enough people in schools teaching these classes. There are some structural problems with trying to offer more CTE classes, more computer science classes, and how they fit into, say, a high school schedule, the required classes, and all the other moving pieces that drive scheduling in schools. So we need the out-of-school opportunities for students to get involved in projects from robotics to programming competitions. And this is the other big need that this bill addresses, is the need for those organizations outside the traditional school day. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Chair Reed and committee, my name is Terrell Smith. I have taught for 36 years in the Sherwood School District. I teach computer science full time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure where Grandpa fits in, but I also am one. And if that qualifies me, then great, I'll work it. But why is it that the high tech industry can't find enough Oregonians to fill the high tech jobs? A friend reported to me that his large company with an app development division cannot find qualified workers. It's not because Oregonians do not have the intellect or the desire. They just have not had the opportunity to choose those skill pathways. A major social injustice in our society is the lack of exposure our K-12 students have had to high-tech education skills in the areas of computer science, engineering, and invention. The Oregon Computer Science Teacher Association, and Don referred to this earlier, did a study 2 years ago to find out what the state of high-tech education was in Oregon. And we found out that of 345 diploma-granting high schools in Oregon, 49 offer at least one class. So that's only one in seven. It's very, very deplorable that we are not providing this opportunity for our high school students. But enough of admiring the problem. House Bill 3511 is a significant solution to that problem. One component of the bill provides staff development. Andrew just addressed that, staff development for teachers who are working within the K-12 system. The grants would provide training and mentoring for high-tech teachers who are teaching in CTE programs and who are interested in or able to implement programs and start new ones. However, as we all know, it's difficult to start new programs within our school system with the funding challenges that we've had recently. And in fact, the funding problems have caused many of the programs we're speaking of to be cut. I've been a head track coach at Sherwood High School for 34 years. That qualifies me to know a few things about coaching. And so Don referred to the coaching model. And by the way, Keegan Lawrence, a graduate of Sherwood High School, played for Southern Oregon this last fall. And so we in Sherwood followed that closely. And we were all over the idea that they were in Florida with the national championship and winning that. And so we know in Sherwood the success of athletic programs. And we have actually modeled through what was called the eChamp program, after-school clubs modeling after an athletic model of getting high-tech kids an experience in after-school. But I had my high jumper this year on the first meet jump 6'10". Now, that, as a coach, is that's pretty exciting. But think about Ben. I'll use his name, actually, because Ben spends a lot of time with the high jump. He spends a lot of time planning and thinking and dreaming about high jump. And he's good at it. And, in fact, if you want to talk about getting a job, University of Oregon has asked him to jump for them. and he has a full ride to Iowa State. So that is the kind of the end game of what we hope to do through House Bill 3511 on the high-tech side. We want many students around Oregon to have these opportunities. If it can't be done within a school, and we want to push for that as well, then we would like it to be done through out-of-school programs. So if we apply that model, we think we can, that low-hanging fruit. What we do is we have a number of organizations that we already know about that we identify that we're involved in, who these organizations will be able to accept these grants and to get feet to the ground and reach students almost immediately. I'll give you a few. Girls Get IT, Don Domes has done this, and you, I think some of you may have experienced that. Chick Tech, Pixel Arts. It's hard for me to talk about Pixel Arts without maybe choking up a little bit, but these two gentlemen who are working in the inner city of Portland as with the high-tech ministry of game design for kids who may not even have a computer at home. And they're doing that on a shoestring. It is scalable. It's just that we're not moving the needle. We have these organizations that are reaching a few kids, but we're not moving the needle. If industry wants workers, the model is there, but the funding and the support is not. We need this to go statewide. House Bill 3511 does that, provides enough money for these organizations that are already there to expand. So if you know anything about ROI, the return on investment for the state is tremendous here because these organizations exist. They already reach kids. They have the capacity to expand. And so we're asking for your support for House Bill 3511 in order to help these organizations do what they already are doing and at a larger scale so that we can solve the problem that we've identified. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Questions for any of these gentlemen? Representative Gallegos.
Mr. Domes, I want to welcome you and thank you. Thank you all for your, you know, I really respect and admire your work online, or front line, I should say, that you're doing. Mr. Domes, maybe you could share with the committee. I had the pleasure of visiting Hill High and seeing your shop, and it was an eye-opener. I was so impressed. One of the questions I left with, and I didn't ask you about this, was, you know, the resources needed to maintain that kind of program. And you shared with me some of the struggles you had and sort of the personal fundraising you did. Maybe you could share that with the committee as well.
In the program that I taught, I taught about 17 different classes every 2 days. We had almost 20 hours of college transfer credit. I was considered an adjunct for 4 departments at PCC. We offered essentially 5 or 6 levels of drafting, CAD-CAM, CNC, rapid prototyping. When I left last August, we had 8 3D printers in the back of the room. We had a 50-watt laser cutter engraver. We had CNC mill and CNC lathe, all in the invention drafting curriculum. We had electronics curriculum that PCC told me was the last college-articulated electronics program in the metro area. We had an architecture program with multiple levels, and we had a robotics program. And then those things were tied into after-school programs. In fact, the eChamp program pretty much grew out of that. That was engineering coaching and mentoring, and over between probably 2007 and 2011 or 12, when OPAS was working with that, between school district monies and state monies, we probably brought about $500,000 to that. And that was to test the idea that if we took our in-school programs and augmented them with an after-school program and basically followed the athletic coaching model, because it is the model of how to work with Americans, with United States students, and create the best in the world. And so we kind of put that together, and we saw tremendous results from that. We had about 22 schools involved in that. When OUS collapsed, OPAS basically collapsed because it was a function of that. And part of the reason we're here is because a little less than 2 years ago, we all kind of woke up one morning and we started hearing, well, we may not have robotics tournaments. We may not have a robotics competition system, and those competitions really excite and motivate kids. And for those of you, I know many of you have been involved and you've seen this, so I don't need to verify that for you. But we kind of said, well, how in the world can we lose? You know, we spent 8 to 10 years, but well, actually 2000, it's almost been 15 years now since we got that. And Oregon Robotics Tournament Program actually came out of the ETEC funding and the idea that we needed to double the number of engineers coming out of Oregon colleges. I remember when Dr. Bill Latton, one of the guys who brought Intel to Oregon, and Bruce Schaefer came out to my high school in about 2000, and we talked about what if we get something going that would involve after school also and the community. Just like sports and athletics, you get coaches and community members that can be involved outside of their work hours. So you begin to bring in a lot more talent and opportunity. So I don't want to belabor this thing, but there's been a ton of work and a ton of money done to get us to where we were. And then with OPAS collapsing, essentially the funding for the statewide kinds of things basically dropped off the planet. Some of those we have been at ORTOP. Formed a 501c3 very frantically so that we could hold that thing kind of together. Several of these things are on life support. OGPC, the Oregon Game Programming Challenge, was dependent upon some money that came through some ETEC grants and some different things. And so we as practitioners in the field, we know that these are the kinds of things that you want to do. We know these are the kinds of things that our parents and our kids want, especially from the high-tech sector. We know these are the kinds of things that will grow these students into choosing some of these high-tech careers when they experience success and excitement. And we know that kids are very focused on their friends. And when we provide these kinds of after-school opportunities, we see kids coming together and supporting each other. My high school was almost half non-Caucasian. Our after-school program represented that. I know students by name who are either at Oregon State or PCC because of after-school experiences and the supports that they got from each other, the encouragement, and frankly, we you know, if they're only in school 14 or 16% of the time, we got to capitalize on that other 84 to 86%. That's the really low-hanging fruit, and we need infrastructure support for organizations, teacher training, all of this. I don't know if we got it all right, but we really tried to wrap a lot of opportunity into House Bill 3511 to try to get those infrastructural supports back and keep these organizations from dying. Thank you.
Thanks. Representative Wisdom.
Thank you for your input. And we all, I think everyone in this committee realizes the need. I think it was last summer, I attended the national competition remotely piloted vehicles at Cascade Academy in Tumalo. They had teams from all over the U.S. there competing, flying their machines and all that stuff. One of the most successful programs, I think, for young people is FFA. It's not during school hours. It's after school hours. It has some connection to school, but not connection. So why don't we have a future Scientists of America or future Technical Students of America and do it that way? Have you talked about that? I was sitting here thinking, too, I was not a very successful Boy Scout. I think I got to life or something. But do they have a merit badge for robotics or something like that in Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts? So those are things, you know, we're going to try to get as much money as we can for this, and we realize the need. But I think talking about after school is the way to go, and make it a letter jacket if you put enough hours and things. I've always advocated since I've been in the building, for volunteer work, you get a letter jacket for civic duty or civic volunteerism versus being the star quarterback or the 6'10 high jumper. So, But thank you for your testimony. I think we all realize how the need's there. We have to think outside the box, I think, one way to bring these youth, because it's exciting. My 10-year-old grandson, I mean, he gets Legos, and he makes it right away without looking at the instructions, and then he redesigns it his own way. But he always puts bombs and guns on
You don't understand that, Colonel Wisdom?
Okay. Representative Wisdom, I really appreciate your shout-out to FFA. I'm a product of FFA. and an FFA. I had the adult supports, the adult encouragements, the mentors. All of those things came together, and literally during my years in high school, I developed a business that paid half of my college in cash. And I gained much of that.
And the thing about it, it teaches you responsibility, finance, return on investment, all sorts of things that some we don't get in other classes or other curriculum. Thank you for your comments.
Representative Nierman and then Representative Johnson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So one of the things when I've seen like computer needs in high schools in my district is, and I get it that they need instructors, and that's what this is really pointed at, as educators. But it seems like also there's a big hole in computer hardware and computer software licenses. And this bill doesn't seem to address that. Even, it goes so far as to talk about modular classrooms and stuff, but it doesn't talk about software and hardware. Was that purposely left out, or is that too big of a money pit that you can't address it, or just talk on that a little bit?
Representative Reed, and to the questioner, I'll say yes to that last question. You know, we're teachers, training teachers. We are asking for some support for organizations that already exist. We absolutely realize the infrastructure is a big challenge. Computers are cheaper, yes, but it's significant to get the bandwidth and the number of machines into the buildings for some of these things. But that's only part of the challenge, in that when you think about your engineering departments, Don rattled off a list of equipment that he has. Well, that is very little of that was state or district money. And if you talk to Don, you know, he can go through the, you know, corporate America funded most of that. And so part of the challenge, when I indicated that we lost programs due to funding, well, how tough is it to maintain a woodworking or an engineering or a metal found shop over years? And where did the auto shops go? I mean, it just takes a lot of money, and the infrastructure we can't answer that question here with 3511. We agree that it's a problem. But if we have the teachers that have the dream, and we have the community that understands that this is really good for students, I think that we might have partnerships within the community that would help with that.
And we're fully hopeful that matching, by seeding these things, that matching monies will come forward. When Representative Gallegos talked about my lab, I fundraise $30,000 to $80,000 a year to create that lab. Some of you probably read in the Oregonian back, I think it was like 2011, we were in the middle of the downturn, or 10, and there's only 43 auto programs in high schools in the state of Oregon. And we had one at Hillsborough High School, and it was destined to be reduced to halftime. A halftime auto teacher would make about $20,000 a year. The lube tech at all the local dealerships in town make more than that. I'm a tax accountant, I know. I knew that was a death kill for the program, and if you can imagine, when I was called in to work with the principal and the vice principal on staffing for the following year, I had the audacity to, when they confirmed that they had a halftime position, I had the audacity to offer to fundraise the other half, which turned out to be $46,000. And we were successful in that. I really have to give huge credit to Mike Scott, superintendent of the Hillsborough School District, for supporting such a crazy teacher with such a crazy idea. But fortunately, because my administration, district administration, everybody worked wonderfully together to support each other, and we were able to be successful, and that program is absolutely flourishing today. But had it been orphaned and not been able to continue, rebuilding a program like that is extremely difficult. Finding a teacher is extremely difficult. To Representative Nierman's question, I apologize for going on here, but back about 98, in between 98 and 2000, about three, when we hit that downturn, there was a program started called STRUT, Students Recycling Used Technology. And a group of us, Intel, basically put key money into that. A whole group of us worked together. We grew that thing to the point where we had this huge warehouse out in East Portland, and we were recycling literally thousands of tons thousands of dollars of equipment into schools. And basically what happened is we hit the downturn. That program was funded from the Washington County ESD. the rest of the ESDs in the state didn't join in on putting money in to save that program, and for about $300,000, we lost that program. It was a national model. They were testifying in Washington, D.C. about how you do this. Students were getting all kinds of experience. Teachers were getting training. Tons of computers were going into schools. I've watched this where we get something going, it becomes a national model or a state model, and then something happens, hiccups, the funding drops out. I don't believe it's purposeful. I think it's an error of omission, not an error of commission. I mean, oh my gosh, we didn't mean to lose that thing. And I don't want to see the same thing that happened to Strutt. I mean, we came back in, legislature came back in later and put in a whole recycling program and stuff to keep this stuff out of the landfills. I mean, we had a model program, but we lost it over, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars. I don't want to see that happen again. I don't want to experience deja vu with all the organizations that are doing this great work.
Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions, actually. Could we have someone actually lead us through the bill and talk about the agencies that would be involved in overseeing the grant program and how that would be administered and so forth? And then secondly, how will this interact with Representative Reardon's bill, 2624? How do they partner together? As he also talks about teacher training and expanding CTE opportunities across the state. So I think those are a couple of good questions for the committee to...
They are, Representative Johnson. I had hoped that Representative Comp was going to be here.
I noticed we lost her tee off.
Yeah. So perhaps we'd better postpone that question a little bit. But as to your other, certainly I think we could ask Representative Reardon to talk about that.
Thank you, Chair. I have the same question. First of all, I want to say that these gentlemen give you a really good indication of why I'm such an avid supporter of CTE and STEM and all the things they're doing. If I could only have been about half as good a teacher as they are, it's just a really so much admiration. And so my only, absolutely want to support what we're doing. My only question I have is also is how does this fit in with other organizations? So I am working on this in the background to make sure that it gets the right support. A little concern about overlapping with other programs that were and things. So everything, as was mentioned earlier in the day, is kind of fluid right now. We'll figure out how do we advance this, but get it in the right place that it gets the right support without too much duplication and overlap. And a little bit of concern, if we have this grant committee, are you going to be drawing on the same people that are involved with the STEM work, from industry? So we're trying to get this community together to support CTE, STEM, and the computer science work. How do we do all of this without overburdening that community and focusing our efforts? So we'll figure it out, and it will be involved in those discussions, I hope. But absolutely head in the right direction. I'm so thankful that you really helped identify this and really helped focus the attention on this particular part of the educational needs that we have. So
Representative Reardon, Representative Johnson, it does occur to me that there is a person in the room who has a sense of perhaps the bigger picture, the ETIC chair in the back of the room. So mm-hmm. I might call him up in a minute to ask for his perspective, if that's helpful. And before we do that, I do want to ask maybe two questions of my own that I think build on both of your questions, and then we could call him up. So the question I would have, or two of them, one would be your perspective on how you mentioned ETIC, and there's obviously discussion ongoing in the legislature. In fact, this committee has sent on a proposal for the Oregon Talent Council, which would be sort of a successor, perhaps, to ETIC, onto the Ways and Means Committee. Do you all have a perspective about how this would fit into the Talent Council potentially? There's no shortage of good ideas that need funding, and there is a shortage of funding. So do you have any sense of how that might or might not fit with the Talent Council proposal?
I really think Eric Maslow would be the person to comment on that.
Okay.
And we're not tied to ETIC. I mentioned ETEC because it was the back in about 2005, there was a whole group of us that wanted to do something about this kind of issue, and we convened a committee, a two-day thing. There was about 75 of us came together for 2 days, and it was a think tank type environment. There was about $1 million biennium given to OPAS to seed fund best practice ideas, and that kind of came through ETEC. That's why I mentioned that.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of some conduit that can get some money
so
to
that,
keep the organization.
That's actually a good segue to the second question I had, which, again, can also be kind of a preview directed at Eric, too, which is the question about sustainability. So the bill calls for $5 million, and I don't think anybody here has any question about the need and what we want to do. If that money materialized, recognizing that there are lots of other meritorious needs, is that the last time you'd be here, or are we going to face the same question 2 years from now?
You want to take this?
Representative Reed and committee, Grandpa comes into this because Don and I may be going away, but the need won't. And so there needs to be sustainability. What we have experienced, as Don indicated, is small programs, model programs that get started, and the hope is there's some sustainability somewhere to keep them going. So there needs to be some sustainability, because if we have these successful programs in the community and in the schools, those who are doing the work need to know that there's a future. So I would say that there needs to be some sustainability over time, not just a biennium.
So I'm a big proponent of matching monies. Part of what happened out of our ECHAMP, Engineering Coaching and Mentoring Program, the Hillsborough School District Board last spring allocated $250,000, fourth largest district in the state, to do after-school STEM. And I think that probably the whole athletic program, you know, how does it sustain? Well, basically a lot of that is picked up by when the infrastructure is there with the local districts, then it creates, you've got people that can work with outside groups, and you end up getting all of this matching kind of support that comes in. But you've got to have that basic infrastructure, and I'm hoping that school districts will expand into doing after-school STEM. Then we just need those organizations that provide the state coordinated contests.
Okay. Thank you. Did I prompt any other questions for Mr. Representative Rudin?
Without saying too much, I have also been trying to work an avenue to develop some sustainable funding for all of these programs. But to do that, it's going to take commitment, and it's going to take about a two-thirds vote at some point. So wish me luck.
So thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your testimony, your advocacy, and your good work. I think maybe we should call the other person who had signed up first, and then Eric. So Joel, if you want to join us, and Eric, maybe you can come up as well, and we'll hear from Joel and then ask you to respond too.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, my name is Joel Fisher on behalf of Oregon Business Association. We've talked a little bit before about the work that we've done with Business Oregon. You've heard a lot about their strategy for economic development is focusing on growing our own businesses, you know, focusing less on convincing the new Nike to come locate here in Oregon, but coaxing that new Nike or other Intel to grow here in Oregon. What needs to follow with that is the same ability to grow our own employees. A lot of these companies, you've heard from many people in the past couple weeks, have talked about the sort of I don't like to use the word import when we're referring to people, but you know, recruiting people from out of state to fill a lot of the jobs that we're creating here in Oregon. So just like we're you know, encouraging to grow our own businesses, we need to be growing our own talent and our own workforce. And so this bill would go a long way to help do that, and we urge your support. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions for Joel? Cindy, thanks for your testimony. Eric, if you could give us a little broader perspective, we'd be grateful.
First,
heard our questions, probably.
Yes. Chair Reed, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Eric Meslow. I'm the president of TimberCon. I'm also the current chair of ETIC, and I sit on the STEM Investment Council as well as the STEM CTE Employers Coalition. I actually didn't plan to be here. I'm actually have a meeting up at the speaker's office here in about 5 minutes. so I'll keep my comments brief. I'm glad I stepped into the committee. This is a near and dear issue to me in the sense that I caused the problem. As the chair of ETIC and a member of ETIC for the last 8 years, OPAS has been a favorite child of ETIC. We were funding it. We were sending $1 million of higher education money specifically down to meet the needs of the pipeline in the K through 12 realm. Right there, I said both a positive and a very big negative. The only people that were making investments in the K through 12 realm in STEM and CTE pipeline programs was a higher ed committee. That's a problem. But we decided that it was worth the investment because we needed more students better prepared and more interested in pursuing STEM degrees at the higher education level. This was done with the full knowledge of this committee. This was done with the full knowledge of the university system, which has to be commended in the sense that they, too, are taking money out of their own pockets, so to speak, and sending it down into the K through 12 realm. That's how passionate everybody was about the need. The problem ultimately was confronted in the last 2 years, though, with the OUS departing, is this wasn't core mission. This was not what ETIC was tasked to do. It's not in the statute. And we made a significant effort to get back to core mission within ETIC, to have the credibility to make the presentations towards the Oregon Talent Council and other issues that were dear to us. I am very passionate about the programs that we were supporting within OPAS. You heard a couple of fantastic teachers up here talk about the real successes they had. ECHAMP specifically seems like just a simple, no-nonsense, keep-it-simple-stupid way of incentivizing a system to do the right thing. I strongly support the idea of finding additional funding for these programs. I think the main concern I have is the one that I think I heard Representative Reardon and others comment to, is how do you coordinate this appropriately through existing channels, be it the STEM Investment Council, through the CTE revitalization grants, through a variety of different ways. And I think it really amounts to the same problem we often have down here. Everybody needs to get in a room somewhere soon and have a coordinated conversation, because I think you hear all sorts of great things going on right now, but unfortunately there's little coordination in regards to how to accomplish it.
Thank you.
I'm more than happy to answer any specific questions.
I bet we might have some. Maybe not. Representative Johnson?
Well, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric, thanks for being here. I appreciate your being able to provide a good overview, because I think yeah, there's a lot of inertia, a lot of desire to do something significant here, but I think what we have to continue to do is to try to make sure our efforts are aligned so that we can get the most bang for the buck and so forth, so that we don't have one-offs going off, that we focus our attention, because we know we'll never have enough resources to meet the needs that we really have out there. So I appreciate that. One of the questions I have, and I don't know if you know the answer to it, or maybe, again, we get back to our bill sponsors here, but, you know, this does call for the creation of the Computer Science Invention Technology Engineering Education Revitalization Grant Program established within the Department of Ed. So would this be a strategic carve-out in the manner of the Educator Effectiveness Networks? It would be just a budgetary byline within the department budget each biennium? I don't know the answer to that, but that...
I don't know the other program you referred to, but it does look to me like, yes, in terms of
the budget. So in other
words,
in terms of sustainability, there is a mechanism here where we... or the co-chairs or whomever could deposit X number of dollars each biennium, I'm guessing, correct?
That seems like that's
something that's significant that we haven't had in the past, so I guess that's a step in the right direction.
Not to cut you off, at the risk of asking an overly simplified question, Eric, is there any reason that the Talent Council, if it did go forward and does receive some level of funding, wouldn't or couldn't consider this concept amongst the other things that it's intended to do? I mean, can we imagine a scenario where the town council says this is a thing and we want to invest in it?
Chair Reed, members of the committee, the only concern I would have immediately is that the Oregon Talent Council is specifically post-secondary, where mm-hmm. many of these programs are targeted through K through 12. The STEM Investment Council, and perhaps if Senator Dembrough's bill passes 112, that would combine and make a consolidated CTE STEM Investment Council, then you might have the perfect place to at least coordinate at the highest level, maybe not be involved in the actual funding, but at least coordinating it and organization of the program. But again, this is my comment going back to, we haven't had everybody in the same room, I think, on some of these great ideas. And again, I can't stress how supportive I am of these programs. Yeah. They are fantastic. In fact, I would like to strengthen one last point, is that most of these programs are to get things started. The school districts need to pick up and run with these things. So in the terms of, is there a long-term funding requirement? Yes. Are you going to constantly see something balloon as these programs get started and going forward? I don't believe the money would need to go directly into the startup, into the organization that's giving the grants to get things started, but somewhere down the line, these things have to be sustained. And I think the place that needs to occur is within the individual school districts and the general K through 12 budget.
Thank you. Mr. Rudin, quick one. We got to get him up to the speaker's office.
Okay.
Too.
One thing to just
somebody call it, would you please?
Have been working on weighted funding for a CTE type program. So I think in terms of the sustainable long term funding, that could be a good start.
Wouldn't go there. 10 years experience, I wouldn't go there.
I would
not as part of the formula. Okay. Outside of the formula.
Okay.
Sorry, mm-hmm. didn't mean to heart failure there.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric. Please
thank you.
Up to the speaker's office. I will say for myself, again, I don't think I'm any different than the rest of the committee in recognizing the need and appreciating the work. I think for me, the question is how they align and how it fits with the number of other things that are happening. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if it would be possible for our able committee administrator to perhaps give, not today, but provide the committee with maybe a one-pager of all the various CTE-related bills that we could potentially be passing out. But I don't know whether it's possible to look over our shoulder and see what our other neighbor chamber is working on as well, just to anticipate what might be coming this way before we actually vote on these things and send them, just to see what kind of overall collaboration there might be. So at the end of this session, we kind of have one unified effort to improve CTE as a legislative body.
I think that's a good suggestion, Representative Johnson. I would note that It's Wednesday, and we have the Friday deadline for posting things. So as she does that, please keep that in mind. And if you have specific concerns about that, we'll need to deal with them really rapidly. I feel like we've done a pretty good job of hearing and moving those that have a path, but I certainly don't mind having spreading that information around. Other comments, Representative Rudin?
I think we can have that conversation rather as quickly as we can get together. I've been working on this mm-hmm. for months now, and but it has taken me a long time. I've got a two-page spreadsheet together that ties together most of these things. But you mentioned one or two things that I hadn't thought of that are the quality teacher stuff and how that fits in, but I think I have a pretty good core in terms of different CTE STEM proposals that are on the table this session, and it would be really helpful if a few interested folks wanted to get together, like first thing tomorrow morning, even.
Sure. There you go. I think we can probably spare the audience and the throngs watching on the internet the challenges of scheduling. I know you weren't suggesting that, but it's an easy joke. Anything else on House Bill 3511? Anyone else who needs to testify? Let's see. So close the public hearing on House Bill 3511. That exhausts our agenda. Anything else to come before the committee today? I think that's it. So, again, we have carried over House Bill 2624 and House Bill 2681 to Friday. Anything else you need to do, Victoria?
Okay.
Okay. Your turn. Thank you.